Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, first, I want to be able to just mention, talk about the church. And when you think about church, what do you think about? I mean, think about that. I mean, what do you think about? I mean, what do you think most people think about, John, when you hear about church? They say this, they say, you know, church. What do they think about?
I think the first thing that comes to mind is their building, where they meet, their location.
There's my church.
Yeah,
I cut church. The grass over there.
Yeah.
Right? I painted that hallway, right?
That's the new center or whatever, you know?
That's right. Yeah. My daddy gave that land for that place over there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Or sometimes it's about, you know, the organization, like this great organization that it could be called a denomination, it could be called whatever, but it's an organized effort. At one point it was a man or a woman that said, yes, God, and they follow God, but then it just birthed into Four Square Church, and then it birthed into, you know, the Presbyterian denomination, then it birthed into, but, you know, it began with just somebody, you know, and organization is not wrong. Organization is good. As a matter of fact, it's very good. And order is very good, and authority is very good. But when that trumps, you know, what God is saying, and so what we've done is, and when you look at it, think about this. According to George Barna, we spend $1.3 million per baptized believer. In other words, every person that goes into that fiberglass tank or that horse trough, depending on how you do it, or the beach, you average those numbers in, and we spend $1.3 million. Can you imagine when somebody says, we want to win 1 billion souls in the kingdom of God, that God's shown us 1 billion souls. Multiply that times $1.3 billion.
Wow.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. I don't know if there's that kind of money in the world. And even, I mean, we can learn so much from business people.
Yeah.
This is what they would say. This is not a good return on your investment.
No, not at all.
Have you rethought your strategy a little bit? Have you went back to the original vision in the business plan, not your business plan, but the business of the Father? Jesus said, I'm about the Father's business. Did you go back to the business plan in the Bible? I mean, what did he say? I mean, after a while, you got to say, you know, we've been paying rent on this place for 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years, you know, and it's not that I don't care that much about you, Bobby Joe, but, you know, we're going to have to do something here.
That's right.
Last night, I was pulled out this old, dusty business plan that we put together, or actually that we read, that God put together through the unction of his Holy Spirit as he wrote the Word of God through people, and I found that we've left our original business plan. Somehow, we've made it now about this product we developed to be able to help us out, and it was before we even got into this. You remember when we used to meet in our living room? We were so excited, and we were talking to people about God. We were so excited. And now, and the building wasn't bad, but all of a sudden we made it about the building. And so this verbiage, all of a sudden we began to switch the verbiage from, we called the church when we were meeting together in our living room, but now we move that from being us to, now it's that building up the street. And it's not working in the context of that. I mean, it's important to have a safe place to be in. Everybody needs to be rightly related to a church, but you don't have to be right related to a building, to a church, you know. You don't want to be on your deathbed and, you know, say, and this is what you hear quite often, you know. People, they say, you talk to them, says, you know, well, do you have a pastor? Yes, I do. What church do you go to? Oh, I go to the. All right. What's your pastor's name?
yeah.
And that's not the pastor's fault. I mean, you chose not to get close to that pastor to find out. And what happens though, when you get close to a pastor who knows God and follows God, God gets close to you, and then things start happening in your life. And so we stay distant. The whole thing is the very God that you ran from, that was God, that pastor was carrying in their life, the Spirit of God. You're fixing to go meet him. You're going to stand in the presence of the one that it's like, it shouldn't be about, it's about family. I mean, Jesus, I mean, think about this. Jesus, get into the Gospels again and read the book of John and just see how, you know, Jesus is a lover of you. He loves you. I mean, he doesn't our kind of love in regards to, you know, fleshly love, but just that heart, like, I just want to be with you. I want to spend eternity. I mean, think about this. People are like, I don't know if you're talking about getting married, right? And they're going, They're talking to their parents, and she goes, I don't know if I want to spend the rest of my life with this man. You know, I said, Tracy, listen.
Too late.
Hold in there. You know, things will change. Now, it's like, how about when you're saying, I don't know if I want to spend eternity with this Jesus. But Jesus is saying, I want to spend eternity with you as my bride. I mean, that's a powerful thing. And so it's like, okay, all right. I've got to begin to move in love. I mean, you know, Pat and I got these little armbands on to remind us of an encounter that Bob Jones had in, he's in heaven now, but he had a death experience and out of his body into the presence of heaven. And he stood before, I don't know if we have that. Hopefully we'll have that. You can find that. You could just hear Bob just describing this, but it was powerful with this video of him telling it. But the big thing that God asked him was did you learn to love? Not did you learn how to administrate a building? Not did you learn how to cut the grass where your building looked better than anybody else's? Not did you move from your living room to the storehouse to the stucco house? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That is about the cathedral house. It's the fact, did you learn to love?
Ooh.
And the truth is, that's probably the hardest thing they will ever do because, you know, when you first become a believer, and for me, you know, I was just, you know, God forgave me of all my sins, and, you know, I was blind, but truly I could see, and I had, even though I was busy and working and doing all these different things, you know, I was a law enforcement officer at the time, that I just had this whole new life and this whole new perspective. I'll never forget sending Christmas cards out to all my family members, you know, I mean, Christmas cards, you know, and as a deputy and a young person in their 20s. But I was so excited to be able to tell everybody that this Jesus that we celebrated over these years for Christmas, I actually know him now.
Wow.
And, you know, people are calling back, is this really? No. And it says your life changes when you know Jesus. I mean, I was not a big reader when I got saved, but the first thing I want to do, I want to read the Bible. Mm-hmm. I wanted to read the Bible, and I picked up the simple English edition, and plus I had the other, you know, James's and all those. But I just wanted to read right straight through. So I'd come home from work, and after working on a 10-hour shift in law enforcement, I'd just read the Bible. I would watch, you know, a particular a ministry that was going on at that particular time and watch thousands of people, well, hundreds of people come down to the altars or playing Just As I Am. And I would just weep over these altar calls and, you know, God was just speaking. It was just beautiful. But then, you know, all of a sudden this love gets tested, you know, and this is when people go building on people. I'm going to go building on you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm, yeah. Be careful.
I'm going to go building on you. What's that mean? Is like, we're going to act like we love each other, but we're going to move this thing into a building.
What?
Right.
Yeah.
I'll pass you. Like, I'm busy, but I love you. Anyway, so, and buildings are bad. I'm just saying that the first thing you want to do is put your husband in another house up the street if you're fighting, right? So, we got to work our way through this thing. That's what Teresa told me. And so, so think about this. So then now love untested is love not genuine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's great that you have this great, huge impartation of love when you get saved. I mean, it's, you know, thank God. There's no tell.
Lord, it'd be rough.
You know, and then you start, you know, getting tested. The first course, first test that you have is yourself. I mean, because you got your own personal sanctification that you're going to go through where you're, you know, you're saved. But your flesh ain't saved you. I mean, you got to learn how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if nobody's discipling you, so many people are defeated at that one moment. And they don't necessarily hate you as much as they hate themselves. And that hate projects. And next thing you know, they don't love at all. And they're going like, I'm just going to go to the building.
Ooh.
You know, do you need some help here? I'll cut the grass. Yeah. It's like, thank you. And so then people get angry at the people in the building who went building on people, get angry at other people in the building when they tell them not to be building people. No, I'm not talking about like building people, like building them up. I'm talking about, no, we're building people. Remember, we gave up on love.
Wow.
And so, And this is what happened in the beginning. So, of course, your love is tested. Then you go through, you know, all the things that happen to you. And then you wonder if you'll ever love again. And then God gives you a new way to love. And then that's when you find out, aha, that's love. And so, but where I learned, you know, so much about love was just family, having family of God around me, where, you know, you go through your ups and your downs and you go through seasons in your life. And, but when you're in the family, you're a family of believers and a disciple of Jesus Christ, then Jesus is with you in that family. Mm-hmm. And you just learn about love, and you know, when you're not in it, you know, when it's not happening. And God is love, and not to have love in your presence and not to learn to love. We were not part of have time to show, you know, Bob Jones's video, but he said, you know, he stood before the throne of God, and I think it was like 98% of the people that were there at judgment were in the other place.
Yeah, we're in the other line.
And 2% were standing before the throne of God saying, and he's asking, did you learn to love? And it's like, well, you know, I just was very religious. I was very religious. And I sang. Man, I sang lots of songs. Did you see that? That I sang so many songs. You know, I did sing Stairway to Heaven once, and they all cried. But, you know, I sang. But did you love? Did you love the choir? Did you love the worship team? Did you love the pastor? Did you argue? You know, I'm thinking about it. Did you love? Mm-hmm. Because the thing about it is, if we're disciples of Jesus, that's what we're going to talk about in a moment with Francis Chan and David Platt, is that, you know, we got to, that in itself shows that we are his disciples if we love. He says, a new commandment I give to you, love each other. By this, they will know that you're my disciple. Not because of a building, not because of an organization, not because of a billboard, not because of a marketing plan, not because you say you are, not because you have an armband on, because I'm with you, I feel the love of God. And so we're thinking about the church. And so David Platt and Francis Chan with the Multiply Movement and other things that they're doing for God, they begin to talk about this because, you know, think about it. Jesus did not call us to plant churches. The very word church really means, in the Greek, the called out ones. So you have all these, imagine this, you have the ocean, and you have fish in the ocean. Then you point at a fish and you say, church. And what happens is it comes out of the water and it's on the shore. Mm-hmm. That was the church. I mean, without a suit, without a tie, without a building, little organization. I mean, that's called out one, right?
Right.
You just call the fish out. And so when the church word, it means called out one. Now we need, God gives, you know, gifts to the church and organizes the church, but it's still around Jesus and being his disciples. Matter of fact, listen to this. This is so important because we're called to make disciples and the church just happens. Listen to David Platt and Francis Chan.
I think it's so key is when we are actually making disciples, that will inevitably lead to multiplying churches.
Yeah.
So the New Testament, as we're reading through this, it never commands us to plant churches. Yeah. Jesus just said, make disciples. And as disciples are made, as people come to Jesus, then churches are formed.
And he starts to talk about this, and you can see this in the Multiply Movement. You know, David's going, I got, you know, if just everybody that gathered together in the building, mm-hmm. is where he pastors at, made one disciple this year, just one, did what Jesus said, do, go make a disciple. He said, we'd have to build a bigger building, but we're not going to do that. We would just multiply.
Mm.
That's why it's called Multiply Movement. We're called to go forth and multiply, you know, to take over with love, not with religion, with Jesus being the Lord of our life and the Lord of our gatherings and he reigning over the hearts of men and forgiving this our sins. And just and it's like, you know what? We got to get back again to making disciples. And the hardest thing, I'm telling you, the hardest thing that I found in America, I mean, you can do church, you can do building.
Yes, you can.
You know, we've had thousands, we've done these different things. I mean, you can do it because people are looking for, most people go building mm-hmm. because you left love. But you can have love in a building. You can have love in a coffee shop. You can have love in a home. But I have to tell you this. If you don't love, even though you're in a building that you change the vocabulary to and you call that your church, you're going to stand before God like Bob Jones did. Mm-hmm. And he is love. So you're going to stand before love and he will say, you know, did you love? And you go, well, you know, no. And it will look a big long list of things that you know, we accomplished. There's one particular man that he had this encounter like that, standing before the throne room of God, and he's talking about all of his works and everything that he did, and he's just cranking it off. I mean, he was very confident in his works. And he said in this dream, and God was just looking at him. He could just see the glory of God, God just looking at him, and finally he just stops because he's like, God's not even paying attention to what he's saying. And then finally the man goes, what? You know, what are you looking at? He goes, I'm just trying to see how much of my son I see in you. Mm-hmm. How much Jesus do people see in you? It's so much easier when you realize that's what he's called us to do. But if you're thinking, I think the numbers now are what?
$1.5 million it costs right now.
Per baptized believer.
In the United States.
According to George Barna. Oh, according.
Actually, according to World Christian Trends, as they have interpretation of annual Christian mega senses, and this is what this mega senses has come out.
And so 1.5, so we're actually going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
I mean, how defeating is that to a John the Baptist that God did call from his mother's womb to do what God has said? And it's interesting, too, is that all of the building folks went out to go meet him in the wilderness to be baptized.
Yeah.
And the leaders of the organized religion just couldn't swallow the simplicity of him saying, repent and be baptized. The time is at hand. If you don't bear fruit in keeping with your repentance, he said, the axe is laid at the roots. And it is. I'm telling you, I really believe that we have a lot of good intentions, but these good intentions, we end up building things that all of a sudden there's so many people living for that thing you built. And at one time you loved people, but you don't have time to love them now. You're trying to fuel this new wing onto the whatever just for people to meet once or twice a week. What are you doing? It'd be better for all of that to go and to love the people that are there and teach the people to love. Love God, love others, and lead others the same. I know that, you know, Pat and I were just up in South Carolina with Rick Joyner at Morningstar Ministries, and you know what we're hearing and what he's saying as well, so it's not just us, that this non-loving aspect of us will not survive what's happening, what's about to come. The only thing that's going to hold us together is love, is true connectivity and love. And there's a lot of people, like I said, that they hook themselves up to what they perceive as the church, and they draw resources from it, and they suck it dry. And I'm talking about that, those folks. I'm talking about the folks that are laying down their life for you, the ones that just jump up and, you know, pour you a cup of coffee and ask you how your day's going. And that's Jesus talking to you through that person. Because whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do. Don't take that for granted. At least this is a beautiful thing. I think about a friend of ours, Mike Berry. Now, here he's a leader down in Florida in District 1 school district, I believe, or DJJ.
DJJ.
Department of Juvenile Justice. And here he was the leader, you know, he had more hair, but he was the leader, you know, and he's probably about 6'4", something that, 6'5". And, but he would walk into a room of people he was leading and he'd be the first one pouring coffee and ask him how their day was. He wouldn't take it. He wouldn't take a chair, right?
Let me tell you about Mike Berry, cause I used to work for him. I gave my life to the Lord. And, the first person who helped me out at the altar, who's just ministering to me, was his wife, and she said, "You need to come to a little Bible study we're having, discipleship type thing." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Sure." So I meet him and I'm talking with him, and very nice man, very humble, and he knew I was in college at the time and I was graduating, and I didn't know this, but he sent me over to go speak to a person in the Department of Juvenile Justice, and lo and behold, I walked out of there with a job.
Oh wow.
And he gave my very first job. And what was so awesome about that is that, you know, we'd be at all these big, big meetings, and he was, you know, the big guy in charge. He was the head person. And everyone's looking for the leader. He's back there serving coffee and helping people out. And you just never assuming, very loving. And he was an excellent just example. I was a young believer, and I really appreciated everything he did for me. He gave me letters of recommendation, everything to pursue ministry and different things like that. And but he lived it. He walked it out, and that was powerful.
Wow. Yeah, I'm looking right here. You can go online, and you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the Pensacola Next Step Outbacks Father and Son Camping Trips. You can see Mike Berry, even in his off time.
Yeah.
We had thousands of fathers and sons and mentors and fatherless sons, and he came out there along with Tony Schumo and
That's
others
right.
there just to be able to cook hamburger. They stood around a grill, loving on all these young folks.
Yeah.
Looking for no glory. They just hung around that smoky grill all day.
That's
Tony
right.
Schumo,
yeah.
Mike
yeah.
Berry,
yeah.
and others too. I'm sorry if I can't remember your name right now. But those are the leaders in the city over the Department of Juvenile Justice.
That's right.
Now think about, and what he was imitating Jesus, and he does. And so now imagine two Mike Berries. Mm. Imagine if your whole fellowship said, you know what? We're going to go into our workplace and we're going to pour coffee. We're not going to gossip around the water fountain or the coffee pot. You know, we're going to find out the vision of our company and we're going to support. We're just going to serve here. We're not going to just like, you need Jesus. And like, we're going to show them Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to be a disciple of Jesus
that's
Christ.
Right.
When we walk through that workplace, people are going to come to us the way they came to Jesus. And we're going to tell them that that's Jesus. And I want to encourage you today, you know, as we go to a break, I want to encourage you that you will lose that whole defeated mindset about following and obeying God when you understand it got twisted somewhere. If you go back to the business plan, the original, because the business plan, what you do when you start a business, supposed to, is write a business plan and project for the next 5 years or so. Well, God put down a business plan. It's called the Father's business. Jesus says, I've got to be about the Father's business. And he not only projected 5 years, but he projected to eternity. Wow. And you got to pick up God's business plan again. The Father's business. I'm not talking about world business. And understand he talks about every aspect of life. And be willing to let everything go and say, you know what? I got to have God. I've got to enjoy this thing again. And I got to get to the place that I love again. And you will, when you get rid of all that stuff that demands your emotions and your attention and your physical investment, then you begin to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, not the building of the organization with your heart, mind, and strength. You'll find out you'll enjoy it again. And guess what? You will be a disciple. And guess what? They will make disciples. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.